What is a conviction about the 13 Imamans? Right? Okay. Now, the first thing is that the first part of the conviction about the 13 Imamans is you must have a conviction about Torah. That Torah was given by God, and this comes out in two ways. One is either you have a proof of Har Sinai, which is a high probability, and then you could have a proof by the knowledge of Torah, by when you see the depth of Torah, you recognize that it's impossible to be man-made, and therefore it's God-made, so therefore you have a conviction about Torah from the study of Torah itself. Okay? Now, if you only have this and you don't go further, according to Albo and the Ravid, you will have a portion in the world to come, and according to Maimonides, you will not have a portion in the world to come yet. Okay? So therefore, you must get the 13 basic foundations of knowledge of God. Right? So the first thing is, if you have it superficially, and you accept it superficially, and you have a conviction about it, about the 13 Ikarim, so then you get a portion in the world to come, according to the Rama. Okay? Our question is like this. Let's say a person is one of the Tanoim, one of the Rishonim. He accepts the 13 Imamim, and he's learning Chumash, and suddenly he sees in Chumash an interpretation that is contrary to one of the 13 Imamim. And at that moment, from Torah, he does not know which one is right. He's in doubt. And at that moment he dies. Does he have a chelek in Olam Haba or not? That is our question. Now the Rambam in chelek says, when however a man breaks away from any one of them. The question is that we're going to deal with is the difference between intuition and chachma. Like Rabbi Chay said, that the Olam Haba and the 13 Imamim, you can't understand intuitively, but you must get it through Chachma. We'd like to investigate that a little bit further. What's the difference between intuitively and Chachma? The question that we're dealing with is, first we'd like to know what's the difference between intuition and chachma, okay? So the first description Doug gave was that intuition seems to come from nowhere. I would equate it with the term creativity. Creativity, okay? Now your intuition is based on two things. One is nature, like Einstein's intuition is very different than my intuition, okay? And two is nurture, namely how you were raised. You could be raised in let's say superstition, so your intuition would be guided more to creativity and thought. In other words, let's say you have a genius raised in a superstitious place. So his creativity would be in creating ideas in superstition. You understand? Some people's creativity, they can only go over what other people say. They don't have any new thoughts on their own. It's a certain amount of nature that you're born with. Okay? But intuition is creativity, and creativity is something that we cannot know how it comes about. Just normally. I mean, if we were able to trace how from the problems that you have, the questions that you have, how you suddenly jump to the answer, where'd you get it from? A new thing. If we had that secret, then we could give it out and everybody be able to be geniuses. But we don't have that method. We don't have that. We don't know exactly how the mind, that's why Doug described it very well, that seems to you get an answer out of no place. That's what it really is. You have all the problems. One time I heard there was a guy on TV. He was a in research. So they asked him how he gets his ideas. So he says first I do all the research or get all the facts. He says then I go horseback riding, I go for walks. Wasn't he? In other words, somehow the information is absorbed, and he has to allow it to come forward. You understand? And he has to just wait for it to come forward. Can't just force an answer. The big problem, a lot of people trying to force an answer. You have to know what you got to force. You force yourself to do the research. And then you could force yourself to allow the information to roll around in your mind and try to look at it from different angles. But the actual creativity is something that you have to allow to happen. You put yourself in a situation to allow it to happen. That is the research, plus first the research, then letting it roll around your mind. And a certain amount of relaxation. You just got to relax and allow it to come. If you have too much pressure, that could also control it to a certain extent. So Robert and Yosef are saying that that intuition also is where you have certain information, and that information, not only the problem that you're studying, but also past thinking affects your intuition, like it becomes part of you, all your learning becomes part of you, in other words, like this, Cheryl Patton one time said that the way to become a general is to study every battle that you could find and analyze it from every different angle. He says not to remember it, but that when you're thinking about the battle, all those ideas will affect you, how you, will come into play when you're making the decision in your particular battle that you're setting up. So you see, it's also, all the knowledge that you have in the background helps you approach the problem that you have at hand. So therefore, there's a different intuition when a person is starting out and learning than a person that has learned for 20 years. Different intuition is because of your learning, all your knowledge affects your whole personality and the way you think, the way you operate. So the question is now, if that is true, the question is, what is the difference between intuition and chachma? In the sense that there's certain knowledge, like Olam Haba, that you can't get it intuitively, but you must get it through chachma. Doug wants to say that the difference between intuition and chachma is intuition. I don't know, I don't have a proof. In other words, like in creativity, you first get an idea and approach how to do it, and then afterwards you go back and you see if it fits in with all the steps. You could prove it and see if it works out. Sometimes your intuition could be off, and when you go through and try to prove it, you see that it's wrong. So the difference between chachma and intuition is that chachma is you see every step, but intuition you don't. Okay? But however, that is true. That is true. But there is an aspect of intuition that was saying that you cannot get Olam Haba, the idea of Olam Haba, through intuition. Well, I'll ask you a question. When I study Olam Haba and I have a question about Olam Haba, what am I supposed to do? I have to rely on my creativity. How did the Rambam get his information about Olam Haba? He got it by studying the facts, and then his intuition, and then after the intuition, he worked it out through Chachma. So when Rabbi Chait says that you can't get it intuitively, what does he mean? that you can't get it intuitively. You have to use, whenever you're thinking and you have a question and you're dealing with a new thing, you must rely on your intuition. You have no choice. So the question is, what does he mean in that sense, that you can't get it through chachma, but you must get it through intuition? You can't get it through intuition, but you can get it through chachma. What does he mean by that? And in other words, intuition will play a role in the investigation, has to. But it's not the complete thing that we're agreeing with. Right. But however, what does intuition mean in this case that you can't get it through intuition? Well, Doug wants to say that first in the studying the Ani Mamans, you have to use intuition when you have questions about what is Olam Haba, that you guide the question. Then you need creativity in the answer. That's what he means. That you can only get it through creativity and then chachma. But then you need the chachma. So I ask you, what's the difference between that and any other? I learned in Gemara. It's the same thing. I learned science. Anything I study, any question I get about life, and I want to answer it, I must go through that. What does he mean that you can't get it intuitively? What does he mean by that? However, what shows that you do accept the 13 is your continuous investigation and the keeping of halacha. But if you don't keep halacha, that doesn't mean you don't accept the 13. In other words, the keeping of halacha is only a proof. But if you don't have the proof, so you could still have a chelek in Olam Haba. You know what I mean? It only shows what your conviction is. How strong? But if you can't help yourself and you can't keep it, so but you're still accepting the 13. That's a separate thing. In other words, it's not the exact keeping of halacha. It shows that the result of the approval of Arzina and the acceptance of the 13, you will keep halacha and you will continue your investigation in these areas. But if you can't keep Torah because of a neurosis, so then you still, that doesn't mean you don't accept the 13. Still accept the 13. Again, the original question was that if you have an emotional feeling about religion, and then you get a proof of Har Sinai, and you accept the 13 Ani Mamans, but it's still based on the emotions, so we wanted to say that if you live according to this, namely if you keep halacha and you're still investigating the 13 Ani Mamans, so then you still have a chelek in Olam Haba, because that shows that you're living by these ideas. But the thing is, if you need a conviction about this, your conviction is still emotional. What's the difference? The question is, what is the difference between a person that is just totally emotional without any proof of Har Sinai, okay, and he accepts the 13 Ani Mamans without just emotionally, okay? What is the difference between that and a person that doesn't accept the proof of Har Sinai, just emotionally? He never saw proof, and he only accepts the religion based on emotional things. There's absolutely no difference. The motivation is still emotional. Or we could say that no, the thing is that not that it's a conviction, but it's that the knowledge, as long as you have the knowledge, that is enough to give you a chelek in Olam Haba. But we don't have a proof which way is right. Okay, David and Yosef want to say like this, that the main thing that gives you a portion in the world to come is the knowledge of the 13. Okay? The knowledge of the 13 means that you have knowledge of reality, and that knowledge of reality perfects the soul, which gives you a portion in the world to come. However, if you're motivated because of emotions, so that only gives you a lower level of Olam Haba because you haven't perfected your soul. So therefore, higher levels of perfect, in other words, if you change your motivation your motivation becomes more rational, so that gives, that's a more perfection of the soul, so it gives you a higher level of Olam Haba. But the minimum to get into Olam Haba, it doesn't matter what your motivation is, but it matters what your knowledge is, your knowledge of reality. And Yosef wants to say the same thing as with a neurotic. Even though he can't keep all the mitzvos, it's not that he doesn't have the reality. In his mind, he knows the reality. But the only thing is that he cannot be perfected because of his neuroses. So it takes away from his perfection, but he does have the knowledge of the 13. So therefore, he would get a chelik in Olam Haba. The question again is, what about doubt? Where does doubt fit in? So we're saying that doubt fits in because it's enough of a accept, the mind accepts this idea enough for you to continue maintaining the possibility and to investigating the possibility. That's enough to give you a portion in the world to come. But of course not to the level, I mean, in other words, it won't be as high a level as a person that has a total conviction. It should be a different level, right? Because that's a different level of perfection. Okay, the question is do you have to know the psukim from the psukim, or could you get it just from the Rambam? Let's say I don't know the psukim, but I accept the Rambam. Now the Rambam, I would say that you could accept it from the Rambam, because the Rambam is part of the Masorah, right? So therefore, it's still from Torah. So if I don't know the exact psukim, I still accept these. The main thing is that I accept these ideas. My mind accepts it. Why I accept it, whether it's emotional, rational, or I just want a chelik in Olam Haba, whatever it is, we're saying that as long as you accept this reality, whatever level it is, you have a portion in the world to come. As long as your mind sees it at some level. So the only way that you don't get a chelik on Olam Haba is either you never studied this, or your mind rejects it. So if your mind rejects any one of these, so then you don't have a chelik on Olam Haba. That's the only two times you will not get a chelik on Olam Haba. And also, we're quoting from Albo. Albo says, Maimonides, also the author of the Garden of the Perplexed, in chapter 25 of the second part, says that his belief in creation ex nihilo was not due to the authority of scriptural texts. Texts can be interpreted, but to the fact that it is a true doctrine, and therefore the text must be interpreted so as to harmonize with this doctrine. So you see that even if you accept the 13 animamins based on philosophy and not based on the psukim, so there you have a portion in the world to come. Definitely, if you accept Maimonides, who was part of the Masorah, you would definitely have a chelik in Olam Haba.
You have the reality.
And the reason is because you do have the reality. That's the bottom line. You must have this reality, even if it's on a superficial level, to get a portion of the world to come. Everything beyond that gives you a higher level in Olam Haba, but the minimum is you must have this knowledge, even on a superficial level. When we said that a person has a doubt, we gave the example of from one pasuk to another. According to this Rambam, it would be if a person, if pasuk says one thing and the philosophy says another, it would be the same type of doubt that we said before. In other words, the idea is in doubt, but it's enough, but that idea is enough that he accepts the idea enough to give him a portion in the world to come. Let's say, for instance, I have a contradiction from philosophy and Masorah. I have a Masorah. I accept Torah 100%. But my philosophy, when I study philosophy, I see the opposite. So I might accept one, but I might accept the Masorah. I don't know. I'm caught. Maybe I could reinterpret the Masorah. Or maybe I could reinterpret philosophy. I don't know. At this point, I'm in doubt. The same, insofar as the idea is concerned, it does not make a difference if the doubt comes from two parts of Torah, or the doubt comes from, from philosophy and interpretation of Torah or part of the Masorah. Doesn't matter where the doubt comes from. It's a doubt about the idea, and that doubt about the idea is still enough to give you a portion in the world to come. In other words, even though you have a doubt that you have enough of this idea, you have enough of the idea to entertain it as a logical possibility, that's enough of an idea to give you a portion in the world to come. But once it becomes the possibility is not entertained, let's say, for instance, I have a proof of high probability that the world was not created. So even though there's a small possibility, but I don't entertain the possibility that it was created anymore. Even though it's a small probability, basically I've accepted that the world is infinite and that it's not created. Then I don't have a chelik in Olam Haba, you see. It must be enough of an acceptance that you entertain this as a possibility, and you have not come to a contrary decision. I don't care if the contrary decision means 99% proof or 90% proof, but you have a conviction that this is right, which is contrary to the 13, then you lose your portion in Olam Haba. But however, if it's a possibility that you still entertain as a rational possibility, then you still have a chelek in Olam Haba. That idea is still enough of a reality to the soul that gives you a portion in the world to come. Alright, the next question that we had is somebody accepts the universal principles of the 13 Animalments, but in particular he doesn't. And let's say he says that I accept that God is one and he has no parts, and then simultaneously he accepts the Medrash that says that the soul of man is made out of the cloak of God, and he accepts that literally. Now there are two ways that he could accept it. One is he knows that he's in contradiction, or one, he doesn't know he's in contradiction. Some other person could accept it without realizing it. Okay? But either way, I think we've answered the question, because he does have the true idea of God, even though it's not perfected, but he does have the true idea of God, and he has certain problems that he didn't work out, but he still has to work it out. But he does have, but according to what we're saying, that you must have the idea, this idea, and you're not negating it, so therefore this person would have a portion in the world to come. But this would hold even if he recognized there's a contradiction, because we said when a person is in doubt, he, as long as he holds, he still maintains this as a truth to some level where he's open to investigate it, to continue the investigation, that is enough of a knowledge to get a portion of the world to come, even though it's not perfected. Right, the question that we're dealing with is if a person comes with the incorrect, he comes to the correct conclusion of the 13 ideas, but he uses an incorrect process. His reasoning is faulty to get there, but he does get there, he gets the correct idea. Right, so the question is does he have a chelek in Olam Haba? Now, since the Rambam does say that if a person proves it not from Torah, he could have a portion of the world to come, it doesn't matter how he gets to 13. So we have to say, and since he was saying that the soul is perfected enough to get to Olam Haba by knowing these 13, so the fact is he knows these 13, but he's lacking in certain reality, a certain knowledge of reality he's lacking. But the thing is, he does know the 13. So we want to say, if he comes to the correct conclusion, He has a portion in the world to come. Then we want that he measure the different, in other words, different levels of Olam Haba in this area. Okay? Like, for instance, let's say a person knows it superficially, but another person knows it more abstractly. Let's say a Rishon knows it very abstractly, but however, he has a question from another area of Torah. Okay, or even from philosophy, he has a question. And so therefore, his conviction is not as strong as the conviction of the 13 as a person that has it superficially. But his knowledge of the 13 is much deeper than the guy that has it superficially. So therefore, we want to say that your chelek in Olam Haba is not based so much on your conviction, and unless you have a contrary conviction, but it's based on your level, the depth of knowledge that you have the 13 animals, how abstract it is. So therefore, we said also, let's say a person that came to the conclusions with the faulty process, and a person that accepts it based on the psukim or based on the Rambam, okay, which is part of the Masorah. So he accepts it based on that. And the person that accepts it on the Masorah or the psukim has a better. His idea is the clarity of the 13 is greater insofar as the idea is concerned, more than a person that came through it through a faulty reasoning, because he is lacking a certain level of that reality. Right. A person needs knowledge of the 13 animamins. Okay? Now, the thing is that there is a minimum level that gives you a portion in the world to come. But there are two things that you need. You need the ideas, and there's a certain level of reality to it. In other words, let's say, for instance, I have an idea that is opposite to 13. And the conviction, and it's a high probability, and I hold that it's a high probability that that is correct. And the real animamin, I hold, is a very low probability, which plays no possibility in my life. That would not give him a chelek in Olam Haba, because there's no reality to it at all in his life. He doesn't deal with it at all. But if there's a certain level where he's continuing the investigation and he has this idea, that is enough to give him a portion in the world to come. Okay? But however, that's the level of knowledge and reality. But however, there are higher levels of knowledge and higher levels of reality. But there must be a sense of reality. If a person just has these 13 ideas and it means nothing to him, and he doesn't act upon it at all, he doesn't care about it, then just having the 13 would not give him a chelek in Olam Haba. Has to have a certain level of reality. What I mean is that, in other words, even if he doesn't continue the investigation, but he has the possibility of the reality of the animamin is so real that it plays a role in his life. So therefore, there are two possibilities, and he hasn't come to any real conclusion, but however, it's enough of a probability play a role in his life. That's what we're saying. Okay? Now, he could have been on the level of a Rishon and analyze it, and another guy that just started thinking about it on a very superficial level has 100% conviction. Can't say that the guy on the superficial level has a higher level of Olam Haba than the Rishon that's investigating it or that thought about it. Now, it has two possibilities. You see? So therefore, there's more reality to the Rishon that's investigating it than to the superficial person that accepts it 100%. Universally, that the 13 principles are correct, has a conviction about it. Then, but however, in a particular, he has a conviction about the opposite, like he holds the soul is made out of parts of God. You see, and he doesn't realize if he realizes both, then we said he's psychotic. How could he have conviction about two opposites? You see? Okay? No, you can't. In other words, I can't be convinced about two opposite things. That would be like psychotic. I mean, if I'm aware of both things and they're both opposites, you understand? That would be psychotic. You can't have it. You can't be convinced
that it's night and day.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you can't be convinced that it's night and day yet. I could be in doubt.
But you're not talking about.
That's an impossibility. To be convinced about both consciously is impossible. But there are a lot of people that don't realize that they have opposite convictions. You see? So he has a conviction about the Adimamins, and on the other hand, he doesn't realize that saying that the soul is part of God, parts of God, is contrary to the Animamins. He doesn't realize that. That is possible, that you have two opposite convictions that way. And people do. So the thing is, it seems to be, at this point, that I would say that he has, according to the Rambam, the way we're learning the Rambam, that if you have a conviction about the opposite of the Animamins, then you don't have a Chaluk and Olam Haba. This guy would not have a Chaluk and Olam Haba because he is convinced about one of the against the Animamins. He has a conviction against one of the Animamins. So therefore, since he has a conviction against one of the Animamins, he would never fail to know Olam Haba. In other words, it is true that he has a conviction about the Animamin, but simultaneously, we said you lose your Chaluk if you have a conviction against the Animamin. Now, he does have a conviction against the Animamin. So therefore, he would lose his Chaluk and Olam Haba. The question is, let's say a person has a conviction about the Animamins, but he doesn't have knowledge about that Medrash, so he doesn't realize that he might hold the opposite based on the Medrash. That's okay. That's superficial. That'd be okay, because that's superficial. He is superficial because he didn't go in deeper. But he does have a Chaluk and Olam Haba. That's what we mean by superficial. According to Albo, you must accept, all you have to do is accept that the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. Okay? Now, Aristotle holds his God, Aristotle's God, according to his understanding of God, there cannot be any changes in the physical world. Okay, in other words, there can't be prayer, because prayer doesn't work. You can't be miracles, because that doesn't work. You understand? Can't be prophecy, because that would be a change. Any type of thing is a change. So therefore, if you hold that God gave the Torah on Mount Sinai, you cannot simultaneously hold from Aristotle's philosophy, because that's by definition that God is intervening in the world. He's giving us a Torah. Is that correct? That, I hold, is the only thing that you're obligated to hold, according to the Albo and according to the Raivan, is the only thing you're obligated to hold to get a portion in the world to come. Otherwise, anything else you hold based on the study of Torah, you could hold God as physical because it says God has a hand. You could hold it, you could even hold God did not create the world. As long as you hold that at some point God intervened, that's the only philosophy that you can't hold to have a portion in the world to come. Otherwise, according to the Albo, you would have a Chaluk and Olam Haba. Accepting Torah means that I must accept that God has the ability to intervene. Let's say I don't hope for miracles. I don't hope from prophecy. Everything else I learn is a metaphor. I could learn it as a metaphor. I could learn it. I could have find proofs from other places in Torah. The only thing that I must hold is that God does intervene in the physical world. And therefore, and the only place that I must hold that he did intervene is in the giving of the Torah. Okay? Because I must hold. So and therefore I must keep halacha. Because God gave the Torah. But insofar as the philosophy where you draw your metaphors, or what you take literally or how you learn Torah, there are many different ways. That is the only thing that you must have to have a portion in the world to come according to the Raivin and Albo and other Rishonim. The question is, what about people that, for instance, they accept the revelation, and then they say there was a Jesus that continued on? The answer is Jesus is a new revelation, you see. That we can't accept. You must accept the revelation of Har Sinai. That's the only revelation that we accept. After that, you're not accepting anything. I mean, there's no basis in Torah to say that you should accept another prophet, like Jesus. You see, and a new revelation. That there's nothing in Torah that does that. So you're not getting it from Torah. You understand? You only need to have knowledge that the Torah is given on Mount Sinai, and God intervened. God has the ability to intervene. That's the only philosophy you have to negate, is Aristotle's philosophy. As long as you don't hold from that philosophy for whatever reason, then you have a chayot and only rabba. The only thing is that you must have a proof from Torah that you can trust another prophet. According to the laws of Torah, he has to have been working according. There must be some proof someplace along the line, and it can't contradict Torah. That's not God's rule that you should contradict Torah. Definitely halacha's rule wouldn't change. Once you accept Har Sinai, everybody's accepting halacha. That's definitely halacha. You can't live with that. It's only in the philosophy of Torah that he gives you a wide range. You understand that these Rishonim give you a wide range. Only the philosophy, but not halacha you must accept. But the philosophy, that's how you work it out. It's your problem. The question is, does Abba hold from the 13? The answer is yes. He holds from the 13, but he doesn't hold that you need the 13 to have a portion of the world to come. He's saying if a person holds that God is physical, he's wrong. But he has a portion of the world to come. There's a difference between what is reality and how much of reality do you need to get a portion of the world to come. We're only involved in what is necessary to get involved in the portion of the world to come. How about the rising? From what I know, I think they definitely hold to help from the 13. The only thing is, they say that you don't need the 13 to have a portion of the world to come. The question that we're dealing with is, in other words, there is a machlokas between the Rambam and Albo about what gives you a portion of the world to come. The question is this that like a halachic thing that as a psak, or is they just searching for the reality? You see? The answer definitely is there's only one reality. Olam Haba is a reality. There's only one reality, and only one of them could be right. Okay? In other words, if the Rambam is right and you live according to Albo, you could be in trouble. But if you happen to be, let's say, Albo, and you happen to accept the 13 Animamas, you could have a portion of the world to come. But if the Albo is right, then you worked extra hard in this world to get what you didn't need.
But you have a bigger chalik.
You have a bigger chalik, right. That would be a bigger portion. In other words, according to Alba, if you had the 13, you'd have a higher portion in the world to come, because you also have that. That's correct. The question is like this. Let's say a person holds for the 13 Arimalans, and simultaneously he holds that reality is only subjective. There's no objective reality. Now, so therefore he's saying that I hold from the 13, but objectively there are no 13. It's only a personal feeling, a personal conviction about the 13, but there is no reality in the physical world. Since there is no objective reality in the physical world, so then the question is that philosophy, even though he holds from the 13, he's holding it's not real. He's only holding it's a subjective, view of life. And it's all human beings, all philosophy is subjective. There's no reality. So since it's subjective, his view of life, so he's really not holding from that the 13 Arimalans are real. I'd have to say that the guy does not have a portion of the world to come, because he doesn't hold from reality. He doesn't hold, in other words, let's say if I would ask him, why do you look two ways when you cross the street? He would say, because in my subjective reality, it's true. But it's possible that a person could walk across the street without getting hit. Somebody else has a different subjective reality. There is no reality in the physical world. So if a person really holds from that philosophy, even if he holds from the 13 Arimalans, he's not holding from reality. So how can he have a portion of the world to come? You have to have a conviction that this is real. He holds there's nothing real. So what is he holding from? So therefore, that philosophy would negate the 13 Arimalans. The same thing would be with Alba also, because the whole purpose of Har Sinai was to show that objectively this is a reality, that the Torah is a reality. So, but however, the whole subjective reality. So then what even the whole Bab and Har Sinai is purposeless, has no purpose. There's one question that we still have, and that is if somebody acquires Yeshkan Olam Haba V'Shah Achas, you could acquire Olam Haba at one time if you're if you die at Kiddush Hashem. So and if you acquire Olam Haba, now according to the Rambam, Mamonashach, either way you look at it, if it's if you don't accept the 13 Arimalans, then why should you get a portion of the world to come? If you do accept the Arimalans, you got a portion of the world to come already. So why does it say that this is giving you the Arimalans? This is not giving, this dying for God is not giving you the Arimalans, the 13 Arimalans. The only way that this means anything is if you don't have the 13 Arimalans and you give up your life for that God which is written in the Torah. So the thing is that we don't understand according to the rabbi. We were trying to define the machlokas between the Rambam and Alba. The way we have it now is like this. According to the Rambam, you must have some basic knowledge of who God is. 13 Arimalans represent the basic information about God, which without which you're not accepting the God of Torah. If you're missing any one of these 13, you're missing a concept of an aspect of God which basically defines your knowledge of God. Alba holds, though, you must accept that the basic foundation of all of life is given in Torah and was given by God, whoever God is. We don't know who God is, but whoever God is, he has given this Torah, and I must live by the Torah. It's not an idea, it's based on an idea that I accept the Torah, but I must live by this Torah, and I must be guided by this Torah. That's what gives you a portion of the world to come, according to Alba. The question, going back to the question about when you have doubts about the 13 Arimalans, And we wanted to say that doubts is enough to give you a portion of the world to come. By elbow, it's a little different. Why? Let's say I have a probability. Let's say I have a 50% probability that Harsinai is right. But it's real enough for me to live by the Torah, so that's enough to give me a portion of the world to come. In other words, if I keep Torah because I was raised that way, then I can't get a portion of the world to come. I keep all the Torah, all the mitzvot of Torah, and I won't have a Torah in Olam because because I was raised that way. But if I have a conviction about that God gave the Torah on Mount Sinai, but my conviction is only at 50%. 50%, I'm really not sure. But it's enough of a conviction to make me act upon it, so then I have a chelek in Olam Haba. Based on the proof, it's enough of a conviction, based on my knowledge of Har Sinai, so it's enough to give me a portion of the world to come. Well, the Rambam, on the other hand, you see, when you're in doubt, I'm doing the actions anyway, because I already hold from Har Sinai. I can't get to the 13 without holding from Har Sinai. So if I'm in doubt, so then what am I holding? You understand? And how do you explain what the nature, it still bothers me, you know, how do you explain what the nature of the soul is that, well, when you say that you only need a negative conviction, but if you just have two possibilities, that's enough to give you a portion. So then what's the nature of the soul? Do you hold from this God or not? The fact that I'm still thinking about it, I'm still thinking about two possibilities, that still bothers me. It's still not clear about the Rambam. According to Elbow, I have a conviction about Har Sinai, right? But it's not a 100% conviction. It's like, you see the proof. The proof is pretty good. Maybe 51%, maybe 52%. But the question is it enough for me to live by? It's a practical question. It's enough for me to live by, so then I'm guided by that proof. And it shows how that's enough. Okay, to give me a portion of the world to come. It means I accept that God, whoever God is, we don't know who God is, but if that God gave the Torah on Mount Sinai, that's enough to give me a portion of the world to come. But however, by the Rambam, he's already keeping his halakha, because he accepted Torah. Before he can get to the 39 moments, he has to accept Torah, so he really keeps halakha already. The only thing is, he's in doubt about, so it's all in the mind. In the mind, if I have two logical possibilities, I don't have any conviction about one or the other. It's a possibility that this is the God. That's a very hard idea. That's it. Joey wants to say that if you have a, if according to the Rambam, if I have a 51% possibility, even though there's nothing to act on, that's a certain level of conviction. Okay, so then we have to ask, what if it's a 50-50 thing? What if it's
50-50?
Oh, we'd have to ask the same thing by elbow. You mean, if he has 50-50, so what if he acts, let's say a guy according to elbow, he has a 49% conviction that Har Sinai happened. But for him, that's enough to act upon. There's certain things, like for instance, if your life is in danger, you will take an operation that might help you 1 out of 100. But if there's sharks in the water, right, then even if there's 1 chance in 100, you won't do it. You see? So the thing is, it depends on what you're doing. Now the question is, how much of a percentage do you need here to you know what I mean? If you are confused about this, join the club. Yosef wants to say that insofar as Har Sinai is concerned, the proof of that it's enough of a probability is your action. When it's totally in the mind, then we want to know, what do you hold? What do you hold? Do you hold from these 13 or not? Now, there it's totally in the mind. It's not based on practicality. It's based on an idea. So the way you measure the 13 is going to be different than the way you measure the proof of parsida. At this point, we would just want to say that according to Albo, we want to say that if you live, it's enough of a conviction if you live according to the halacha system, and that you accept the philosophy, whatever the Torah says, and however you interpret the Torah. But according to the Rambam, since it's a conviction of the mind, we want to say that if you don't have 51%, and you don't have a real conviction, even though you still have other possibilities, then we want to say that that's not enough of it. If it's less than the 51%, then at least it's a level of conviction. But less than that, it's true, you still want to investigate. But if it's less than that, then it's possible that you will not get a chelek in Olam Haba. The question is, is it possible to measure this? Okay? The answer is yes, because your mind is guided basically by this idea. The only thing is you have other possibilities and you're still working it out, so then you're right. I mean, you might not know if it's exactly 51%, but you know that you're convinced that this is right, but you still have other problems. You still have questions and you're still investigating, and it is possible you could change your mind and say that it's not. But if you say that it's not, if at some point you get only 49 conviction, whatever that means, I mean, 49 conviction that the 39 rabbis are correct, so then it's possible that you will not have a chelek in Olam Haba, because that is not a perfection of the soul. Because you are not accepting the idea of God. To get a portion of the world to come, you must accept God. In this way, you're not accepting God. We want to say that that either you accept the 13 Ari Lamas, but you have a question. You have a question about it, but you accept the 13 Ari Lamas. You just have to answer the question. That's definitely good. But if you have a question against the 13 Ari Lamas, and that question brings a doubt, but you have a 51% conviction, okay? It could be, going back to the other discussion, it could be that, like Doug said, maybe you can't evaluate, but that's up to God to decide who gets a portion of the world to come, and you can't evaluate it. That's also possible, okay? But anyway, but if you have a 51% conviction, you have a 49% doubt about it, so since you have a 51% conviction, the mind is living by that conviction. So therefore we say, even though you have doubts, you also have a portion of the world to come. But if you only have a 49% conviction, and the 51% of reality is on the other side, then according to Rambam, you will not have a chelek in Olam Haba. We want to say about the evaluation, whether you can evaluate whether you hold... We're working with percentage, where how much you hold from it, whether you hold from the Ari Lamas or not. Insofar as that discussion is concerned, we want to say that you cannot get the quantity of how much you accept, but there's a certain feeling that this is correct, but you have the question that there's a possibility that the other is, but you're more sure about this. In other words, the quality that you're more sure about the Ari Lamas, that quality you could evaluate. The exact amount, that we don't know, whether it's 51% or 85%, we might not know. We might not be able to quantify it. But you know that you really sense that this is right, that according to your knowledge of it, you feel it's right, but yet you have doubts and questions about it, you see? So that you could, that you yourself could evaluate. We don't know if you can evaluate the email. The question is like this. Let's say I'm an honest investigator, and I'm investigating the 13 Ari Lamas. Now, I also am a religious man, and I want a portion of the world to come. It would be nice. Okay? Now, what if I accept the results based not on my mind, the way I understand it, but based on the desire to have a portion in the world to come. You understand? In other words, I'm an investigator. I'm not like the superficial person that just accepts things. And I'm investigating with my mind, and in my mind, I really don't accept it. I see logically I don't accept it. But on the other hand, I force myself to accept it because I want a portion of the world to come. Right? Now, what is that? What type of an acceptance is that? Is that a real acceptance? Or it's not a real acceptance? And the thing is like this. In other words, I have a conviction based on logic, and I have a conviction on fear or whatever. Okay? It's an emotional conviction. Now the question is that let's say my emotional conviction overrides my logical conviction. I mean, because if you really hold of the logic, then that goes to the previous conversation that I really hold from the logic. Right? But let's say my emotional, and we said that it doesn't matter what your motives are as long as you accept the 13. Now this guy, he knows logically he doesn't accept it. But he also accepts it because he's a fast fear. So that we shouldn't look at the motive why he accepts it. Now we said before, as long as he accepts these 13. But he knows that logically he really doesn't accept it. Is that type of emotional conviction acceptable to give you a portion in the world to come? This would be very different if I hold logically I hold that the 13 are wrong. But I do have a proof of Har Sinai, so I accept the Masorah, the transmission, that whatever they say is true. So because of the transmission, I do hold from the 13. That's logical. So there's two sources for the logic, and I accept the proof of Har Sinai that whatever comes from Mount Sinai and part of the transmission, I accept 100%, and my logic is just to help me clarify and understand it. And if I have a proof against the 13, or have other knowledge from the physical world against the 13, that I don't accept it because I accept the Masorah, that's a real logical acceptance of the 13. You definitely get a chalak, a portion of the world to come. That's 100%. That'll give you the freedom to investigate as much as you want, and you still have a portion of the world to come. We're saying that because of your logical investigation, that puts a doubt on the Ani Mamet. But however, because of your fear of losing it, whatever it is, whatever emotional reason you want to go to Olam Haba, okay. So therefore you force yourself to have an emotional conviction about it against your logical conviction. That is very different than accepting it from Har Sinai as part of the Masorah. That is, the question is, where it's totally an emotional reason why you accept it, not based on the Masorah.